뭔가 옴 나모 바가바테 바수데바자 옴 나모 바가바테 바수데바자 옴 나모 바가바테 바수데바자 We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 21, and also we're going to go into Chapter 22. Chapter 21 is entitled The Descendants of the Dynasty of Bharat, and Chapter 22 is entitled The Descendants of Ajamidha. So we start. There's a lot of reading today, a lot of names. Some of those names we recognize from Mahabharata and Ramayana, so I'm just going to tell a little bit of the story of some of these characters that are, that are known in the narrations of both these great books. So we start for text number 26 and go all the way to 17 on chapter 22. One second, let me get myself here. So, text 26. I'm just going to read the translation because there's so much reading. Following the instructions of the great sage Jaigishavya, Vishvakshena compiled and elaborated descriptions of the mystic yoga system. From Vishvakshena, Udakshena was born, and from Udakshena, Balata. All these sons are known as the descendants of Brihadishu. Text number 27. The son of Dvimadha was Javinara, whose son was Kritiman. The son of Kritiman was well known as Satyadhriti. From Satyadhriti came a son named Dridanemi, who became the father of Suparshva. Text 28 and 29. From Suparshva came a son named Sumati. From Sumati came Sanantiman. And from Sanantiman came Kriti, who've achieved mystic powers from Brahma and taught six Samhitas of the Pratyasama verses of the Sama Veda. The son of Kriti was Nipa, and the son of Nipa, Ugradyudha, the son of Ugradyudha, Shemya, the son of Shemya, Suvira, and the son of Suvira, Ripunjaya. Text 30. From Ripunjaya came a son named Bahuratha. Purimidha was sonless. Ajamida had a son named Nila by his wife known as Nalini, and the son of Nila was Shanti. The son, text number 30 to 31 and 30 to 30 to 33. The son of Shanti was Sushanti. The son of Sushanti was Puruja. And the son of Puruja was Arka. From Arka came Barmashwa. From Barmyashwa came five sons, Utgala, Javinara, Brihadvishwa, Kampila, and Sanjaya. Barmishwa pray to his sons, quote, O my sons, please take charge of my five estates, for you are quite competent to do so. End of quote. Thus his five sons were known as the Panchalas. From Mudgala came a dynasty of Brahmanas known as Mudgalya. So this Panchala is the land later that is going to be ruled by Drupada. So Drupada was the Panchala king, and therefore Draupadi is also known as Panchali, which is the daughter of the Panchala king. So much later we hear about this. Text number 34. Mudgala, the son of Bharmishwa, have twin children, one male and the other female. The male child was named Dibudasha, and the female child was named Ahalya. From the womb of Ahalya, by the seeming of her husband Gautama, came a son named Satananda. So I tell a little bit about this. Is a famous character in Ramayan, Ahalya and Gautama Rishi, and also the sage Satananda. So very wonderful story. It's one of the, you know, nice stories of the Ramayan. Ahalya was created by Lord Brahma as a perfect, beautiful woman. And she was married to Gautama Rishi, who was at that time very old. Ahalya was such a beautiful woman that the demigods were much entranced by her beauty. And in particular, Indra was very much fixated in the beauty of Ahalya. So he devised this, you know, one of those things that the narrations, when Indra make a wrong choice, he disguised himself as Gautama Rishi. He assumed the form of Gautama Rishi to actually, and the whole thing is narrated in the Puranas and also in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayan, that Indra will hit himself and come to the ashram of Gautama Rishi just to observe, just to check on Ahalya. It was, you know, like a little bit of a, anyway, I don't want to say it, but you know, it was not so nice. You know, people get some names, you know, when they start to stalk at, you know, beautiful woman, you know. But he will do something like that, and then he would also check what is that what are the customs on and the schedule that Gautama Rishi will do. So one day he devised this plan. He tried to trick both of them, Gautama Rishi and Ahalya. So first he have to get Gautama out of the ashram. So during the middle of the night, he created the sound of a rooster to wake up Gautama, thinking, well, his morning has come, so he will go to the river to take, you know, do all his morning oblations. And as soon as he leave, he manifested he took the form of Gautama, and then went and approached Ahalya and got intimate with Ahalya. At one point, Ahalya realized, this is not my husband. And it became clear to her, but it was too late. They were already sort of engaged in the whole thing. And at that time, Gautama, who sensed, wait a minute, there's something wrong in here, he came back and caught them right on the act. And he turned to Indra, that according to one of the Puranas, he tried to escape by assuming the form of a cat to squeeze out very quickly. Gautama got him. And then cursing. And there's two narrations, one in Valmiki Ramayana and one in the Puranas. The one that is famous that we usually hear is when Indra get cursed by Gautama, that Yuso attacked to enjoy the female organs. So now you have, your body should be covered by 1,000 female, you know, organs. So his body was completely 1,000, you know, anyway, you got the picture. Obviously, you can sense, you know, I mean, what a curse. And Indra was done. So we take care of Indra in a moment, how that. And then he turns to Ahalya and say, do you know that he was not me? And she said, yes. But she couldn't explain before. She even explained that, you know, she got tricked. He caused her. Gautama caused her to... There's two narrations also. In Valmiki Ramayana is that she becomes invisible to the world, and she, for thousands of years, she have to atone, basically not able to eat. It's like a ghost, and be in that area, the ashram, and she will only be free when Lord Ramachandra will come to the ashram, enter that, you know, that ashram, and she will be able to serve him. The narration of the Puranas is that she gets turned into a stone, and then she will be free by the touch of Lord Ram's lotus feet. So then Indra, having this horrible curse being thrown at him, then he couldn't show himself neither to anyone. And eventually, by Lord Brahma's intervention, then Gautama say, okay, you know, now Gautama has, you know, come down and say, okay, so instead of being 1,000 vaginas, you know, in your body, let it be 1,000 eyes. So that's how Lord Indra became the 1,000 eye, you know, Indra. I think there's a name for that, is Sahastra Chakshu or Sahastra something. 1,000 eye. So the son of Gautama and Ahalya was Satananda, and Satananda was the chief priest of Maharaj Janak, and when he was very grateful to Lord Ramachandra when Lord Ramachandra freed the curse of his mother Ahalya. Because later, after Vishwamitra Muni took Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman to kill the demoness Taraka, and also the two sons of Taraka, what was the name? Bahu. Do you remember Taraknath? The two demons that Lord Ramachandra, the one was the one that became, you know, the golden deer. What was his name again? Marichi. One was Marichi, and the other was Bahu something. The one that killed Marichi was, you know, left alive. Anyway, the two demons, the son. So after that, Vishwamitra Muni took Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman to this ashram, and Lord Ramachandra placed his feet on the stone, and the stone became holy again. In the narrations of Valmiki Muni, Valmiki Ramayan, when he entered the ashram, then immediately she became manifested, and she hosted and served Lord Ramachandra, and she became free from any type of contamination, and then she was able to join back with Gautama Rishi. So that's a story of these characters here. Text 35. The son of Satananda was Satyadriti, who was expert in archery. The son of Satyadriti was Saradwan. When Saradwan met Urvashi, he discharged semen. How you say semen, no? Semen. Which fell on a clump of shatagrash. From the semen were born two all auspicious babies, one male and the other female. So this is also a characters that are narrated in the Mahabharata. So this sage Saradwan was the son of Satyadriti, who was the son of Satanandan, who was an expert archer. So the son of Satyadriti, who was an expert archer, was Saradwan, who also was extremely expert. Actually, when he took birth, the baby came out with a bow and with a quiver with arrows. He already came, already, you know, decked. Yeah, as a archer. So it is explained that his father sent him to the forest to perform austerities. So he was performing austerities in the forest, severe austerities, and Indra, he became again a little concerned on this powerful personality performing austerities. So he sent, as usual, some beautiful apsara to distract the sage who is performing austerities. So he sent Urvasi. When Saradwan saw Urvasi, he became distracted and agitated, but immediately he retreated back and went deep into the forest. But as he went deep into the forest, some discharge of semen came out and fell into a grass. And it is explained that as it fell, the grass divided into two, and one female baby was born and one male baby was born. And this was Kripa and Kripi. Later, so the narration we hear. Text number 36, which say this: while Maharaj Santanu was on a hunting excursion, he saw the male and female children lying in the forest, and out of compassion he took them home. Consequently, the male child was known as Kripa, and the female child was known as Kripi. Kripi later became the wife of Dronacharya, so very important characters in the Mahabharata. So, Kripa and Kripi were the twin children born of Saradwan and no mother, so they became manifested like that. And later Kripa became the cool guru, or the acharya, or the teacher of the palace, or the kingdom of Hastinapuri, the Kauravas. And he taught all the princes of the Kurus the art of warfare, and also the Vedas and that type of thing. Kripacharya is also known as one of those personalities who have very, very long life. So he's still alive. He was one of the few survivors of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And obviously, he was one of the Maharatas, or the super warriors who were part of the Kurukshetra war on the side of the of Duryodhan. Kripi was married to Dronacharya. We heard about Dronacharya, who was the son of Bharadwaj. We heard that a little earlier. And Dronacharya also one important, very, very important character. And then we have King Shantanu. We're going to hear later about King Shantanu, so we're going to save that for later. But Dronacharya, let me see, I think there's also going to be narrations of Draupada, because we have now Draupada, the king of Panchala, and Dronacharya having this conflict, and how this result and other personalities. So it's all going to come in here. So I tell a little bit of the narration of that. Okay, so that was thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 9th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Bharat. Now we go in chapter 22, The Descendants of Ajamida. I'm going to skip, because time is passing, I'm going to skip the overview and just go to the verses. Text number one. Sukadev Goswami said, O king, the son of Dvidasha was Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chavana, Sudasa, Sahadeva, and Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu. Text number two. Somaka has 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishata. From Prishata was born King Drupada, who was opulent in all supremacy. So Dronacharya, the history of Dronacharya is very wonderful too. He, just like Kripi and Kripa, was born with our mother. Bharadwaj, it is explained also that he was confronted with another Apsara, one of those beautiful heavenly ladies, and he had a discharge of semen too, but he caught it in a pot. The pot was called Drona. So then from that pot, the semen, then came a child, and who was named Drona. And in the ashram of his father, Bharadwaj, students came. And one of the students was the king, the prince of Panchala, Drupada. And they became very close friends, Drupada and Drona. And in one of those moments of close friendship, especially, you know, as they started to ponder on the future, and Drona was concerned how he would make a living, how he would, you know, go on. And Drupada said, you're like my brother, so anytime you can come to me, I give you half of my kingdom. You know, I promise you that. Because you're so dear friend to me, like my brother. So at the end of the school time, they went part ways. Eventually, Draupada became a powerful king of this kingdom of Panchala, and a very, very opulent, as it says here, in all supremacy. And Drona, on the other hand, became very poor, very, very poor. And he was married to Kripi, and they had a son, Ashwatthama. And once they were so poor that they couldn't provide for Ashwatthama ever some milk. And one time, the children of the village, they played this trick, a cruel trick, on Ashwatthama, and then tell him, "Hey, Ashwatthama, you want to taste some milk? We know that you don't know what milk is. So we have some milk for you." So they had some water that made it white with rice powder, and they gave it to Ashwatthama. And then when Ashwatthama drank, then it was, you know, tasteless and not very nice. And they started to laugh and mock him. Drona saw this, and then he became very aggrieved and decided he had to do something about this poverty. So he remembered his friend, Draupada. So he decided that he will go to his friend to ask for help. He doesn't want half of the kingdom. He just wanted, you know, some cows and some land, you know, to actually being able to have maintain his family and provide his family nicely. When he came to the kingdom, you know, he was very simply dressed, you know, like a poor person, and he was stopped by the guards. "You can't come in here." And he said, "Please go and tell the king that his dear friend has come and wants to see him." So the guards come and tell Draupada, "There's a, you know, a beggar by the door saying that he's your dear friend." So Draupada was already very much puffed up by wealth. When Drona came into his presence, then he says, you know, like, although he recognized him, he said, "Actually, we cannot be friends. We're not equals. You're like, you know, some destitute, completely, you know, poor person, and I'm a great king. So how you can claim friendship? Just go away." So he sent him away, he insulted him, and Drona was terribly hurt, but he was very upset. So he vowed, "I'm gonna take revenge, and I will take half of the kingdom." You know. And eventually Drona came to be the teacher. He came to the Kaurava kingdom. His brother-in-law was the chief priest of the Kaurava kingdom. And when Bhishmadev knew, because what happened is that Drona Acharya became a powerful Acharya, especially in the art of warfare, because he approached, there was a situation in which Parshuram wanted to give everything he had to the Brahmanas. So when Dronacharya approached Parshuram, the only thing that Parshuram had left was his weapons. So he gave all his weapons to Dronacharya and the knowledge how to use them. So he became a powerful Acharya of warfare weapons. And when Bhishmadev, who was also a disciple of Parshuram, knew that Dronacharya was there, in his kingdom, he immediately say he should be the teacher, the warfare teacher of all the princes, the Kaurava princes. So Drona Acharya became the teacher of all the Kaurava princes, and all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and the 5 sons of Pandu, the Pandavas. And we know that Arjuna became the most, you know, the best of his students and the most dear to him. So when they finish their schooling, then it comes the time for Dakshina. So the princess wanted to give the Dakshina to their guru, and they asked, "A dear spiritual master, what should we offer you?" And he said, "Go to the kingdom of Panchala and capture Draupada and bring him to me alive." And then Duryodhan immediately jumped, "We do it, we bring him to here." And then Dronacharya knew that this boy needs to learn a lesson. And so he said, "Okay, go ahead, go with all your brothers, you know, and try to defeat him." Draupada was a very powerful warrior. And so he defeated completely Duryodhan and his brothers. Then when he came, you know, all defeated, then Dronacharya said, "Arjuna, Bhima, go." And of course, Arjuna and Bhima, especially Arjuna, completely defeated Draupada, tied him, and brought him in front of Dronacharya. And Dronacharya said, "My dear friend, now that you're here, I will honor your promise to me. I will take half of your kingdom. I forgive you for the way you treated me, and I give you back the other half of your kingdom. So you can go." And so he took half of the kingdom and enthroned his son Ashwatthama as the king of that half. And Draupada went back very insulted and desired to have revenge. He didn't harbor bad feelings towards Arjuna because he understood Arjuna was used like a weapon. Rather, he was very much attracted to Arjuna. So he decided to have this yagya in which he will have him, that will be the cause of the death of Drona, Dronacharya, and a daughter who will be so nice if she marries Arjuna. So Draupadi and Drishtadumya took birth from that. They came from the fire of the sacrifice. And we hear that a little bit about it. So so that's Draupada. Okay. So text 3. From Maharaj Draupada, Draupadi was born. Maharaj Draupada also have many sons headed by Drishtadumya. So Drishtadumya was that powerful. It is explained that Drishtadumya, when he came out of the fire, he came actually in a chariot. You know, he was, you know, like, he started to roar around. So he was this powerful, fiery kshatriya who his whole purpose was to kill Dronacharya. And the wonderful part in the land was Dronacharya. So he sent Drishtadumya to learn from Dronacharya. And although Dronacharya knew, then he accepted him as a disciple. So he taught him everything. And later, during the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Drishtadumya became the top general, the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army. And then Duryodhan, we hear in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Dronacharya, you know, just see your disciple, Drishtadyumna, or the son, he doesn't even call him the Drishtadyumna, he calls him the son of Drupada. Just see how expertly your disciple, the son of Drupada, is arranging this army, you know, with all these powerful warriors. You know, he's inciting, and it is explained that he's inciting in Dronacharya the remembering the enmity that he had with Drupada, like that. And later, Drishtadyumna take advantage of Dronacharya being tricked by Krishna's arrangement when Yudhisthira Maharaj, the famous scene of Yudhisthira Maharaj saying, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is killed. So, you know, I mean, the only way to defeat Dronacharya was to trick him to put his weapons down. And the only way he will put his weapons is that he goes into grieving his son's death. And so Krishna asked Yudhisthira to say that, and Yudhisthira couldn't. I couldn't. It's not even part of his, any cell of his body can say a lie. So he couldn't. So he hesitated. But Krishna, you know, forced him. So even, and then he tells Bhima, and Bhima, he was like ecstatic. He just go out and start to scream to his, you know, to his, he goes, Krishna sort of instruct Bhima, you see that elephant? What's his name? Oh, that's the elephant, is Ashwatthama. And then Bhima realized, ah, I got it. He took his club and smashed the elephant in the head and killed the elephant in one blow, and then start to go around the battlefield. I kill Ashwatthama! I kill Ashwatthama! I kill Ashwatthama! And then Dronacharya, he heard that, and then, no, it's impossible. Ashwatthama also, you know, was very powerful, and he had this jewel that, you know, makes him almost basically immortal, you know. And so not possible. But, you know, okay. So he will go to Yudhisthira because he knew that Yudhisthira's character is that he never stays alive. So Yudhisthira will sell the truth. And if Yudhisthira say Ashwatthama is dead, then he knew it's true. So that's when he approached Yudhisthira, and Yudhisthira say, you know, did Bhima kill my son? And Yudhisthira say, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. Gaya. Gaya. Right. The elephant. So then Dronacharya dropped his weapons, sat down in meditation, and Drishtadyumna took the chance and then cut Dronacharya's head. That was the end of Dronacharya. So some explains that Dronacharya was basically as a meant to die just because he sat too in the court of the court of Draupadi, was insulted and didn't, you know, do something about it. so that I heard that. I can quote, you know, for sure from where, but that's one. But anyway, so that's now continue here. From this Chaturmya came a son known Neketu. You hear about him too, right? The first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Duryodhan is saying all the different warriors that are part of the Pandavas, he say, there is the powerful Drishtaketu, Chitta something, you know, he named several ones of them. So Drishtaketu is named in the Bhagavad Gita. Powerful warriors. All these personalities are known as the descendants of Varmishwa or as the dynasty of Panchala. Text 4 and 5. Another son of Ajamida was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Sambarana. From Sambarana, through the womb of his wife Tapati, the daughter of the sun god, came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru has four sons, Parishi, Shadanu, Janu, and Nishada. From Shadanu, Suhotra was born, and from Suhotra, Chavana. From Chavana, Kriti, oops. Kriti was born. Text number 6. The son of Kriti was Uparichara Vasu. And among his son, headed by Brihadrata, were Kushamba, Matsya, Patyagra, and Shedipa. All the sons of Uparichara Vasu became rulers of the Shedi state. It's another famous kingdom in the Mahabharata. From Brihadratra, Kushagra was born. From Kushagra, Rishabha. From Rishabha, Satyahita. And the son of Satyahita was the son of Satyahita was Pushpavan, and the son of Pushpavan was Jahu.
One second, the computer is not cooperating. Okay, text number 8. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadrata begot two halves of a son. When the mother's son saw those two halves, she rejected them. But later, a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them and said, "Come to life, come to life." Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. Another important character in the Mahabharata, especially on Krishna book. We hear about Jarasandha. So the story of Jarasandha was that that the king Brihadrata has two queens, and he loved both queens very much. And then when he received this mango with a blessing and of this sage, I can't remember which sage was, but he divided the mango into two halves and gave to both of his wife. And both of them became pregnant, but when they took birth, it is said that one they gave birth to half a child. Each one. So one on this left side, one on the right side. And when the king saw that, everybody was horrified. So the king ordered, just get rid of this monstrosity. You know, this was a terrible mistake. So they throw the two halves into the forest. And then this Rakshasa demon, woman, Jara, came, found the two half. You know, she was very happy to find something to eat. And but, you know, as she put it in, you know, in her hands, the two were united, and then they came to life into a baby, which she felt compassion, and then brought back to the king, and told him. The king became very happy, took the boy, and then he was named Jarasandha. He was Jara, that it was means that he who was united or put together by Jarasandha. So Jarasandha became, you know, this powerful king who constantly having this enmity with Krishna, and he got defeated how many times? 17 times. He will attack Krishna's kingdom, and he was defeated one after the other one, but he won't give up, you know, his desire to defeat King Krishna. And eventually he was killed by Bhima, who fought with him, and then on the directions of Krishna, Bhima sort of split him in half. So we read that in the Krishna book. So just for the sake of time, we don't go too much into that. Text number 9. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadeva. Sahadeva became, you know, actually, after Jarasandha was killed, Sahadeva was installed into a kingdom by Krishna. Actually, one important detail of Jarasandha, why he was killed by Krishna, it happened during the time that Maharaj Yudhisthira was to perform the big sacrifice, the Ashwamedha sacrifice, to be crowned emperor when he was in Indraprastha. So happens that Jarasandha has this thing of capturing kings and then have them jail, and then he was planning to sacrifice them all, I think, to a big some yagya, sacrificing kings. So Krishna knew that, and then that if we freeze these kings, they can be supportive to Maharaj Yudhisthira's cause. So that's how the scheme of killing Jarasandha came. There's a whole story. From Sahadev Somapi, Srutasrava, the son of Kuru called Parishi, had no sons, but the son of Kuru called Janu had a son named Suratha. Test number 10. From Suratha came a son named Vidurata, from whom Sarvabhauma was born. From Sarvabhauma came Jayasena, from Jayasena Radhika, from Radhika Ayutthaya. Text number 11. From Ayutthaya came a son named Akrodhana, and his son was Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha. The son of Riksha was Dilipa, and the son of Dilipa was Pratipa. Text number 12 and 13. The son of Pratipa was Devapi, Shantanu, and Balika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest, and therefore Santanu became the king. Shantanu, who in his previous birth was known as Mahabisha, has the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hand. So Santanu, the narrations of the Mahabharata started narrations of King Santanu. And
Shantanu was a powerful king at that time, and it's explained in his past, and we're going to hear later how he married Ganga, and from Ganga, then one of the sons of that he had with Ganga, actually all the sons were killed by Ganga, but the son that was left was Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma, Bhishma Dev. So very important character, but it's explained here, it's explained also in the Mahabharata how he became Shantanu. In his previous life he was known as Mahabisha. Mahabisha is explained that was part of the descendants of Ikshvaku in the Sun dynasty, and he was a very powerful king with great powers, and once, as a powerful king, he was able to actually go to Brahmaloka and sit, in these heavenly arrangements, with all the different devatas. So once in one of these gatherings of devatas, and Mahavishya was there, then one of those winds came and blew the garments of Ganga, and all the demigods, being very polite and decent, they turned aside and covered themselves, so while Ganga was exposed, but Mahavishya, kept just admiring Ganga, a form, and Lord Brahma saw that and became very angry and said, "You should now take birth in earth and fall down into from the heavenly region." And so he pleaded with Lord Brahma to tichai bagriam karmana tena samadvada satat rajye navavarsa jada vibhu. Please chant. Karmana tena shantanu samadvada satatraje navadarsa jada vibhu santid abnoti chai bagriyam karmana tena shantanu samadvada satatraje navavarsa jada vibhu. Tena shantanu samadvada satatraje navavarsa jada vibhu. Just because of now it's past 8:30, I'm just gonna read the translation and skip the synonyms. Translation: because the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification primarily by the touch of his hand, his name was Shantanu. Once, when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years and the king consulted his learned Brahminical advisors, they say, "You are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him." The older brother was, remember, he left to the forest. And the purport by His Divine Grace, Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
One cannot enjoy sovereignty or perform an Agnihotra Yajna in the presence of one's elder brother, or else one becomes an usurper known as Paribeta.
And then finally, the two last verses, 16 and 17.
Translation. When the Brahmana said this, Maharaj Shantanu went to the forest and requested his elder brother, Devapi, to take charge of the kingdom, for it is the duty of a king to maintain his subjects. Previously, however, Shantanu's minister, Ashwavara, has instigated some Brahmanas to induce Devapi to transgress the injunctions of the Vedas, and thus make himself unfit for the post of a ruler. The Brahmanas deviated Devapi from the path of the Vedic principles, and therefore, when asked by Shantanu, he did not agree to accept the post of a ruler. On the contrary, he blasphemed the Vedic principles and therefore became fallen. Under the circumstances, Shantanu again became the king, and Indra, being pleased, showered rains. Devapi later took to the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses and went to the village named Kalapagrama, where he is still living.
Jai. Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I think, unless there's someone who wants to do one question or comment, we should finish here. It looks like it was for long. Any comment or questions? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.